Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
You're listening to episode 992 here at Gamertag Radio, and this is your host, Danny. And joining me for this episode, we have Paris here. What's going on, Paris?
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Danny, for being the host of another episode of Gamertag Radio. This is going to be a good one. I'm very excited. It's been an amazing week.
All right. And also for this episode, we have Pete from all the way from the other side of the world. What's going on, Pete?
What's up? How you guys doing?
Everything is good, man. How's the weather over there? Let me ask you.
I mean, I woke up and it was -2, but for those on the United States that still reference the freedom numbers, that would be 28, 27.
Okay.
Degrees.
It was like that last week over here in New York, and now it's like close to 70. Global warming. Woo.
Yeah, the football fields out in front of my apartment were covered in frost, so it's just they were all white. There wasn't snow, but it was still cool enough to wake up and see just white all over. Pretty cool.
All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, listen to our past episodes. Also, if you go to any podcast app, just search for Gamertag Radio, subscribe, follow us, even post a review. We'll give you a shout out on a podcast. All right. And, we were planning to have fan mail on this episode, but we made some last minute changes. We're going to have fan mail on the next episode of GTR. So if you want to be part of that episode, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we have the whole crew here. And I think we're going to start the show with this major, major controversy that's been going on now for the past couple of days now about Microsoft. I think it was Matt Booty, right, Paris? He was the one that did the interview. Do you know which website it was that he was doing?
Okay.
The interview?
I love how Danny, as the host, should have this information in front of him, but he passes it off to me to put me on the spot. Because I don't have the information in front of me, but yes, it was Matt Booty.
Matt Booty.
The website was MCV. I forget exactly what the acronym for that was, but yes, that is where the article came from that started all this nonsense.
Yeah, so during the interview, he was saying that the Xbox Series X won't have exclusives, first-party exclusives game for that console for at least a year or so. And the reason that is because anybody that invested an Xbox One S or an Xbox One X, they still, you know, appreciate that they still could play all these games that's coming out for the Xbox family, like Halo Infinite and other games that hopefully we'll be find out more about that later during E3. So, to me, reading that and seeing, you know, the controversy, I'm kind of confused because I see that as like a pro-consumer thing. I don't see that as a bad thing. And why be mad that this is something new for Xbox? We've never seen this before. But when Zelda came out for the Nintendo Switch, it came out for both Nintendo Wii U and also Switch. And I think was the also the new 3DS. It was kind of similar like that too. And I didn't see any controversy like that. But why are people so mad about this? Why? Can anybody answer that question? Because I'm kind of like
let me read my tweet that I put out harmlessly yesterday. I did not think this was going to cause all this hysteria on the social medias yesterday. I simply said, Xbox not having exclusive next-gen games for year one is a smart consumer-friendly move that doesn't gatekeep new experiences behind expensive new hardware. Your next-gen experience isn't going to be compromised because a game is playable on old hardware, same as it works today on PC. That absolutely exploded. People on both sides of the fence. Here's the thing. For the people that are outraged by this, people are concerned that Microsoft is not giving them an incentive to go pick up a Series X. In other words, they're saying, why am I going to pick up a Series X if I can just play the same game on my current Xbox One? You also have the crowd that's saying, if there's no exclusive games, you know, like if there's no exclusive games to Series X, that you can't take advantage of the power of the Series X. You're making the Xbox One your baseline for developing the game, which is going to limit what a game designer or game dev could do potentially with the game. Couple things on that. Number one, to the crowd that's worried about, well, what's my incentive to go pick up an Xbox One, a Series X? There's so many damn acronyms. It's called choice. Microsoft has made it clear over the past few years, this is the strategy that they're going to do moving forward. I literally went back to the E3 press conference in 2016, where Phil Spencer, at the end of that, started talking about breaking down the barriers of generations and not leaving anyone behind. I mean, at the time, he was referencing the Xbox One X because he knew that was coming, more so than where we are now with Series X. But the point still stands. They're basically saying they don't want to force you into buying new hardware at the start of a generation. They're basically like, they're saying, look, we want everybody to play Halo Infinite, be it on the Series X, be it on the Xbox One, be it on PC, be it via xCloud. They want complete inclusion with this. And if you look, and if people would actually read, if people would actually read the article, Matt Booty was specific in saying that that Halo Infinite, as an example, they're going to make sure they put in the extra effort to have it be a showcase title on the Series X. In other words, they're not gimping it. They're not leaving it. They're not basically just making an Xbox One game and porting it up to the Series X. No, you will see the visual differences between the two, right? Not to mention the real point of the Series X, the thing that's making it next gen, is you're going to be playing games at higher frame per second. You're going to have faster load times with the SSD and you're getting ray tracing. Those are your three bullet points that are going into next gen. I mean, we've really hit a critical point with gaming right now, because the Xbox One X today is very capable of doing 4K and things like that. So those are the things that are going to stand out. And I understand people worrying about, well, maybe the levels won't be bigger or things like that. Fair. But none of us are Miss Leo. We can't go into the future to know what Halo Infinite potentially would have been if there wasn't an Xbox One involved. Personally, I don't think it's an issue. I look at a game like The Witcher 3 as an example. On PC, it looks freaking amazing. 4K. I played in 4K, 60 frames, ultra settings and all that. But you know what? It is also the same damn game is also playable right now on the Nintendo Switch at 540p and 30 frames. But guess what? It's still the same game. You're still having the same experiences. You're still playing that game. It just doesn't look as pretty. And that's how people have to go into this and understand what's happening here. Microsoft isn't dumb. Some of the smartest people on the planet work at that company. There's no way they're going to take a game as important as Halo Infinite and dumb it down to please the masses. Of course, it's going to be a showcase on there. And the other thing that people need to realize is, name me the last time a launch game on a console wind up being the showcase showstopper game by the end of that console cycle, right? Games always get better the deeper you get into a development cycle, because devs now understand the hardware better and they're able to unlock more of its potential. So honestly, this doesn't matter either way. You know what I'm saying? The fact that people on the Xbox One can play it is not going to hurt your experience on the Series X. It's like I told somebody on Twitter, nothing has changed except Microsoft has given you a third option now, and it's called a choice, where they're saying, we're not going to force you to spend $400, $500, $600 at launch to be able to play what we consider our next generational titles? Will you have the same experience that someone on the next gen hardware will have? No, you will not. But you can play it, and then you upgrade when you're ready to, when you can afford to. Because look, like I've been just saying on Twitter all day yesterday, they care more about you being a Game Pass subscriber than you actually purchasing hardware. Because at the end of the day, they're going to either make a minimal profit on the hardware, or most likely in the case of the Series X in year one, they're probably going to take a loss on it. So they're better off you just subscribing to Game Pass and not upgrading. But again, it's your choice. You do it when you're ready to do it. And that's why I don't understand why people are so upset about this, that you're given an option now. It's almost like they just want to give Microsoft their $600. It's like, it's crazy to me. So I know I've talked a lot. I know, Pete, you probably want to jump in.
Yeah, go for it,
when,
Pete.
When has a hardware platform, whether it's been Sony or placed, or you know, Sony or Microsoft or whatever, been the leading revenue maker for one of them? It's never has. And that's not the one thing.
Wait, it has. It has, only for Nintendo, though. For,
you'll notice, like, but I didn't say Nintendo.
No, I know, but I'm just saying.
Okay, but
just want to bring that
Danny,
up.
Danny, okay, Danny, let Pete get his thought out.
Jesus Christ. I've been on here in 7 months. Still hasn't changed. Nintendo, or not Nintendo. See, now you messed up my whole train of thought. Sony and Microsoft, for years, and Paris, you and I, you know, you can attest to this from a IT perspective. Companies don't make their numbers on hardware. It's the software, it's the support and maintenance contracts, or it's features, or what have you, or the additional feature modules that are sold separately. That is an IT or technical business process model that has been in place for decades. It worked then, it worked now. There's no reason for these large companies to change now. And that's exactly why Xbox Live is the money printer that it is, because they don't have, I mean, yes, they do continually iterate, and that's why we see changes on Xbox Live and new services, and they deprecate older stuff. But that's why that's the one thing that's always constantly in flux and always constantly being updated and upgraded, because that's the one thing that's going to draw in the people the most outside of, you know, the games and the hardware. An interesting stat that was told to me by a good friend in the industry, I'm not going to say his name, you know who you are. For years, with the Xbox 360, the one thing that was the largest moneymaker, or the one thing that people spent the most time on the marketplace, was the avatar creator. Think of that. For the Xbox 360,
yes,
the one piece that people spent the most out of all the games, out of every feature and or game on that system, was the avatar creator. I myself can attest to the number of hours that I sat there always constantly tweaking my avatar, new clothes, new shirts. And then on top of that, you're putting t-shirts? Hell, we had our own gear on the Xbox Live Marketplace for avatars. How many years ago was that now, Danny?
That was a long time ago.
The whole GamerCast network, all of us, Sarcastic Gamer, VGS, we all, Destructoid had it also as well. We all had it. And just think of that in general. And then just apply that towards 2020. As we see these new services, these new products that are coming out, they're all software as a service. And that is what folks want. And that, it doesn't matter. And like Paris said, it doesn't matter. And we've all been saying this for how many years now? It doesn't matter what piece of plastic you play it on, long as you play it. That's all they care about, really. Because once they have you in the ecosystem, whether you're on an Xbox One X, Xbox One S, the new Series X coming out, whatever their newfangled machine is going to be called in 5 years, or my glorified Windows 10 gaming PC that I'm playing on right now, it's still a Microsoft product that I'm playing it on, right?
And
that's what they want.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the one other thing that people need to wrap their head around is, because I know there was a little bit of controversy in the wording of what Mr. Booty said, this is really only for the first year of the Series X. So from holiday 2020 until holiday 2021, because there was something like, oh no, it's 2 years. He's talking from right now. In other words, if you bought an Xbox One X today, you basically got 2 years of it to where you don't need to worry about buying new hardware to continue to play next gen games. So in a nutshell, what that means is for the first holiday season, Halo Infinite, Forza 8, right? They're playable on Xbox One. And then once we get into holiday 2021, again, pretend Perfect Dark and Fable will also be playable on Xbox One. Beyond that, now you got to go get a Series X, or you got to go play on the PC, or keep your Xbox One and play those games via xCloud. These are the options that they're giving you. And I don't, it baffles me why this is a bad thing. How is this a bad thing? This is pushing gaming forward. Whether PlayStation does this or not, it does not matter. If PlayStation makes their games exclusive to their console, to the PlayStation 5, that is fine. Obviously, we're used to that model. It's been happening for decades at this point. There is a high chance that I purchase a PlayStation 5 next November and I'm playing Horizon Zero Dawn 2 or whatever the case may be, because those are games that I want to play. But at the same time, Xbox, I truly have to make a choice how I want to approach next gen with Xbox, because I already have an Xbox One X. I obviously have my PC. I'm really good. I can play Halo Infinite. It's going to look amazing. Or I could go purchase a Series X, stick it out in my living room and play it that way too. It's called a choice. Or I can on my iPad or whatever, I could stream it as well. How is any of this bad? I'm still playing Halo. I'm still enjoying it. It's still great. You're not losing anything. And that's what baffles me about this, that people are genuinely this upset. And look, I understand it's social media. People like to say the craziest stuff that they possibly can on there. I understand there's some, shout out to Tony Polanco, there's some sports team defense going on here, because he had a great analogy to me. He goes, he thinks a lot of this console war stuff is people treat these things like it's a sport. Like it's your team. Like I gotta be team Xbox, or I gotta be team PlayStation, Nintendo, or ColecoVision, or whatever the hell, right? And you gotta defend it until the bloody end. So they see something that's different, so they're going to quote unquote attack it because they don't understand it. Mm-hmm. Whereas all I'm saying, I'm being real, because no, they're not reading the article. They're not looking at what the vision is. Microsoft has been saying for years, not they haven't been saying it specifically, but if you look at their moves and what they've been doing, they are turning Xbox more into a service. Like Pete was saying, this is more as a service than it is them caring that you pick up a hard piece of hardware day one. As long as you're invested into their ecosystem, they win. They make a profit. You play a game on Windows 10, they make a profit. You play it on the Xbox, they make a profit. You're streaming on xCloud, they make a profit. You subscribe to Game Pass, they're making a profit. That matters more to them. And they clearly understand that the Xbox One lacked games. So they're working towards inquiring all these studios and building up their library of games. So when people say things aren't exclusive anymore, they kind of really are. They're exclusive into the Xbox brand, because at some point you got to touch a Microsoft operating system to be able to play this stuff, no matter how you do it. They're just giving you different avenues on how you play it. That's all. I don't understand. And look, I truly think Microsoft is doing a very smart marketing strategy right now by slowly leaking this stuff, not leaking, but strategically having these interviews and placement of these reveals now. Get it out of the way now. So by the time we get to June, everyone is on board. They understand what they're doing, and you're not happy. Because imagine if Phil Spencer says this on stage in June. Oh, that's all the headlines.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bad timing. Going crazy. Bad timing.
So you get it out of the way now, so that by the time you get to E3, you focus on Series X, the games that are coming out. You know, I'm sitting there shaking like a leaf trying to talk to Bonnie Ross instead of worrying about things being, you know, exclusive. You know what I'm saying? So you get it out of the way now. And then by the time you get to November, no one's even talking about this stuff, because I'll tell you this, which is the other hilarious thing. People on social media saying to me, well, no one's going to buy a Series X now. No one's buying one. I promise you 143%. I promise you, there won't be a Series X on the shelf. I don't care what they price it at. I'm not saying it's going to outsell PlayStation or anything crazy like that, because people are going to be buying PlayStation 5s as well. But that Series X will sell just fine. regardless of this. And that's the thing that people need to understand. And that's the thing. And again, my 46 years on the planet, I think I just don't have the patience anymore to just deal with the bickering. But I don't understand why people can't just enjoy gaming, period. It's not about Xbox. It's not about PlayStation. It's not about Vectrex or any of this. Play the games. Play them where you want. Enjoy them. Have fun. Period. That's it. That's all it is.
I really don't see the controversy in this. It's just ridiculous overall to see people actually getting mad over this. And here's the thing. The majority of those people that were replying to you, Paris, how many of those have the latest iPhone or the latest Android that people have been replying to you? Because I bet most of them, the majority of them, have an older phone. It's the same exact thing. It's the same exact thing, man. They're still using an old or new hardware, and they can still do all that stuff. Twitter, play games, Facebook, take pictures, everything. It's the same thing that the vision that Xbox is trying to do with their console. Yep. You have a choice, and you're still going to have the same exact experience. You're not losing anything. The other night, I was at 368. It's a very cool venue in downtown, and they were recording a podcast, and they called me to record very quick from the crowd, and I'm like, hey, what's up? So they asked me, hey, Danny, tell us what game you're excited about. And I mentioned Cyberpunk 2077, right? And then I mentioned a couple of things why I'm excited for that game, and then I mentioned I have over 115 hours playing The Witcher 3, and everybody, oh, wow, everybody's probably thinking PC, Xbox. When I said Nintendo Switch, everybody was surprised. Really? Why? I'm like, it's the same exact experience. I'm traveling. I'm taking with me. I'm always playing. I have way more hours on that game than on Xbox One. And it's not because it looks better. I feel like it's a lot easier for me to take it with me if I want to continue playing. I can't do that with the console. But now with Project X Cloud, I'm probably going to be doing more of that. With not only with my iPad or with my phone, you know, in the future, you know. So, like you said, Paris, it's all about choice. I don't see anything wrong about this, man. At the end of the day, no matter what you buy from the old consoles or the new consoles, Microsoft is going to get money out of it, man.
Agreed.
The other day, my friend Neil hit me up, and he was, like, nervous because he was planning to buy an Xbox One X. Because he has the original Xbox, but he wanted to upgrade. And he asked me, hey, can I still play Halo? Because that's the main reason I'm buying this. Can I still play Halo Infinite? Because I'm excited. I'm a huge fan of Halo. I go, yes, you can still play that game and other games that's also going to be available on the next console. You can still play it. And he was like, thank you, man. And he went, bought an Xbox One X because of that. You know how many people are going to be doing that? And they're going to have enough money to even buy and either a Nintendo Switch or a PlayStation 5 during the holiday season. Because now they have choice. I could buy a cheaper one or an expensive one.
Agreed.
The choice is yours, man.
Completely agree. So I tell this story real quick. So I was at CES this week, and maybe we'll get into that later if we have time. But again, thank you to NVIDIA for inviting me out. But on my way leaving CES, I got an Uber, and I'm going to the airport. And I don't even know how it happened, but somehow, you know, Uber driver asked me a question or something, and somehow gaming came up. So we got into gaming, and, you know, I kind of told him what I do. And it was just a fascinating conversation, because here's a guy that's not in our bubble. He's just regular average Joe guy that just likes to play games. And it was fascinating to hear his perspective on things. Like, he's looking at the next gen stuff. Like, example, Cyberpunk. He don't know anything about Cyberpunk other than Keanu Reeves. That's all he knows, because he saw it on the news, right? When he thinks the next Xbox and PlayStation 5 and all that, he was adamant. He goes, I will not spend over $400 for either one of them. He goes, if they cost more than that, I'll wait. He goes, I'm good waiting. I'll stick with my He loves PlayStation, right? So he's like, I'll stick with my PlayStation 4. I got enough games on it. I can wait it out until it's affordable for me. So when I'm hearing things like that, it's going to tell me that we're in a bubble right now. Having these kind of conversations, the average person, like you just said, Neil, getting his Xbox One X, he ain't running out trying to go get no Series X at launch. The majority of people are going to wait. They're not getting his stuff right now. And what Microsoft has done is they've basically said to the Neils and the Uber drivers of the world, keep what you got. You can keep what you got. We're still going to let you play the new games. And I'll tell you this, that Uber driver, He don't care nothing about no ray tracing or fast load times or 60 frames per second. He don't care about that stuff. He just cares to want to play his favorite game. And as long as he's able to play his favorite game, he's good. And that is what the vast majority of people will tell you if you ask them. Not this angry mob subset that we see on social media because, and I won't curse, but most people don't give a crap about this stuff. They don't. They just want gaming to be as affordable as possible. And that's all this is at the end of the day. Microsoft has given you an option that can be affordable because if you've already invested in their hardware, they're not telling you in the first year or two, go get the new stuff. They're saying, keep what you got. We'll let you play the new stuff. It won't look as good. It won't be as fast, but we're going to let you play it. And most people, doesn't matter. That they're fine with that. And, you know, like we brought up, you know, previously, Nintendo has proven that over the years anyways, because Nintendo has never been the best looking or the fastest loading or any of that stuff. They just create unique gameplay experiences that people want. And even as we sit here today, the Nintendo Switch has outsold the Xbox One. So I think that has proven it in spades already. And Microsoft has obviously seen this where they understand that power is important. And look, I'm sure they want that checkbox on the back of the marketing sheet to say that they have the most powerful hardware. But at the end of the day, they realize it's not about the power, man. It's about being affordable, being affordable and actually having games that people care about. Because I don't care if Series X, all the games were exclusive, but Halo sucked. Well, guess what? I'm not picking up Halo and a Series X. But if Halo's great and I can't afford a Series X, at least now, because I already have an Xbox, I can still play Halo. That's all that should matter. And that's yep. why, again, I understand this is a very loud minority that's speaking, saying all this crazy stuff. But it, Danny, you go on my timeline and read some of the crazy responses that I've seen. It just blows me away. I can't believe it that people truly think like this.
Yeah. I don't know. You know what? People are not going to be talking about this in November, man. People are like, oh my God, they're going to be talking about how cool the games are and all this stuff. Like, people are going to forget, man. I think it is smart that Microsoft brought this up now, man. Super smart. Yeah. Super smart, man. You know?
And one last thing. And I know, Pete, you haven't jumped in. I'm sorry. I talk a lot. I'm sorry. But the other thing that you have to look at this, and again, shout out to Tony Polanco, because him and I were having a conversation about this and he brought this up. We're talking the first party, the Xbox, the PlayStation, right? But guess who never goes exclusive at the start of a new console generation? Third party. Do you really think EA, Ubisoft, 2K, do you really think all these major third party Activision are, do you really think Call of Duty is going to be exclusive to the Series X and the PlayStation 5? Hell no. It is going to be on the Xbox One. It's going to be on the PlayStation 4. They'll put it on the Switch if they have to. They'll put it on the iPhone. They don't care. They want to make sure the majority of people will still be in the previous generation for the first couple of years of the next generation. So that's where all your third-party AAA games are going to be until then. So you're going to see, quote-unquote, cross-generational games for the first couple of years anyways for the vast majority of your games. So all this squawking and it has to be exclusive because that's what drives sales. Why do you care what other people buy? Care about what you buy. Because I know I do. Honestly, I could give two Fs what Danny or Pete buy. I really could because I care about what I like. And that's how it should be. Why do you care what other people are buying? What do you care about the sales forecast for Microsoft or PlayStation? Because I'm going to be honest right now. They only care about what you give them. If you ain't buying nothing exactly. from them, they don't care. So why does any of that matter to me? Again, it just baffles me how people get just so like truly emotionally invested in this branding stuff.
It's the workup. It's the workup that cracks me up. Just to see them go from totally rational to full blown garbled. Like they can't even talk at that point because they're so all up in their feelings and emotions.
Yeah.
And it's wild. It's bonkers. And it's funny because Danny, you mentioned this earlier in the conversation where the same people who will be the ones that you see that have all the hate and vitriol about whether you should be spending your money on Xbox versus PlayStation, but they're 12 years deep with their iPhone, or they're 12 years deep with the latest Samsung, you know, Note, or the newest Pixel, or the new OnePlus. And it's hilarious how they don't see the similarities of those two, right? It's like, you can have the hate and vitriol, or you can have that hardcore, you know, brand, you know, recognition and love for one component, but when you have your mobiles and, you know, you have your mobile phones, it's okay to be like that. And that's wild. Now, to go back to what you said about the third parties, Paris, those timed exclusives are going to continue year in and year out, I think. As much as I don't see the benefit of that, I think it's actually a hindrance to gamers or consumers. I don't like the fact that, let's say, I'm an Xbox. I don't have an Xbox. I don't have a PlayStation anymore. I don't care. But yeah, I don't. But that's been since last year, so that's it's no.
I know. But somebody just got mad that you said that, though.
Yeah, no. but like the. Like, let's say, you know, Danny is Xbox and you're on your PlayStation. You have, you know, you're playing on PlayStation. You have all these time exclusives for Destiny or what have you on your devices, but Danny doesn't. That, me personally, that's my opinion. I don't like that because you're gatekeeping specific categories of gamers, or, you know, a certain, you know, I don't want to say minority because, you know, we're consumers at the end of the day. I don't see that as fair to the consumer, that you're blocking a whole group of play of consumers just because you want to have that timed exclusive. If the companies were really truly trying to make that bread and secure that bag, they would open it up and give it to everybody. But again, we'll always have that as part of the discussion.
No, I agree, Pete. The thing I think that Microsoft this generation, they kind of stopped doing that. They were doing that a lot during the 360 days. I feel like next gen we're not gonna see much of that, man, because here's one game that's been a successful game that the company been getting so much money, and this game is everywhere. Fortnite. It's the same experience, but you could play this on any device, any console, and you still getting the same stats, say everything for your character, for your Epic account and everything. So I just don't see that happening in the future. Like now, Microsoft has a marketing deal with CD Projekt Red for Cyberpunk. There's no exclusive quest only available for Xbox One. They just wants to use that as a way for people like, oh, when the first thing they think about Cyberpunk, the majority of people will think of Xbox because they see that the ad. It's similar to where PlayStation did the same exact thing with Destiny. You think of Destiny, you think of PlayStation 4, the first thing, you know. So I think we're gonna see more of that, of just using those games as like a marketing thing instead of saying, oh, we have an exclusive quest only available on this console. I just don't see that for next gen. Do you guys see that? Because I don't.
I mean, we've seen it already. What was it? Call of Duty is now on Xbox again, I think.
Rumored. It's not rumored. Official yet.
Rumored. Obviously, Destiny with PlayStation. We saw that. I don't know if I like the Fortnite analogy because Fortnite is free everywhere, right? And they require these third party or these DLC exclusive, you know, type things to funnel and fund their things. But you know, we don't see any exclusivities, you know, with regards to that. And I don't think it'd be real difficult to do that for a free-to-play game, right? Like, I can't see a company trying to gatekeep when their only means of money is DLC. You know what I mean? So I don't know if we can include a free-to-play game, and I don't want to just pick on Fortnite. I don't think we could see free-to-play as a timed exclusive target.
Do we continue with the same topic or just change it up?
No, I mean, I think we pretty much got the point across when it comes to this. It's just fascinating. Like, again, it shows two things. It shows that people are clearly very excited for the next generation of gaming, right? But it also shows that there is concern when there's change, because that's what this is. It's change. So people tend to get afraid of change. So your people are speaking out on it, or quote unquote getting outraged, or whatever you want to say. But I just personally say this is a good thing. I don't see how this is not a good thing. You are not losing anything when it comes to this. If you really think, and again, we won't be able to judge this until November. We won't be able to judge this until it's November. We have a controller in our hand, and let's say Pete's on the PC, Danny's on the Series X, and I'm on the Xbox One X. How are our experiences any different? Are they all the same? Or will you have in the back of your head, well, Halo Infinite could have been better if it was only on the Series X? Again, smartest people on the planet, do you really think they would downgrade this game because of how important it's going to be? I've been saying this for the longest. This year is the most important year in the history of Xbox. That game is the most important game they've ever made. There's no way they're screwing this up. There's just no way. And that's only the Xbox. I don't know, we're probably about to start talking PlayStation here in a second, but that's only just Xbox. That is just one side of the next gen puzzle. PlayStation is going to have a part to play in this. We're going to see what they have to say. We don't know. What if they do the same thing? Now what? Now what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? Because you know we're getting a remastering engine, right? The remastering engine.
I forgot about that too.
Right? So, no, but it'll be interesting because, you know, PlayStation is rumored. I think the rumor is February 12th that they're going to reveal the PlayStation 5. They're going to have their big reveal. So let's see what they have to say. And then we will comment and adjust from there. And then we'll get to June, which I think is the perfect segue, E3 2020, and we'll see how all this plays out.
Oh, so we were skipping the next gen price? Then we could go to E3, it's fine.
Yeah, let's can I say this about next gen price?
That is a
horse we have beaten, shot, dragged down Town Square, and then just threw it in a dumpster, because we won't know until they say. It is all just speculation until they say.
Isn't that the best part of conversation, is the speculation?
Yeah, but Pete, we've been talking about this.
No, I know. And not just, we didn't just kill it. We dragged it into the Lazarus pit, raised it from the dead, and went through the whole process and re-killed it.
I know.
So, no, but I get you. I get what you're saying.
No, the reason why I brought that up, Paris, is because the conversation we were having the other day about why we think Sony and Xbox is going to have this price for this console. And, you know, I think it was a very interesting conversation that we were having about that, you know, so that's why I brought it up. It's not the, you know, the Twitter crap that we see online. It's more of why we think Xbox would do this and, you know, just that. So, but it's up to you. It's up to you.
Wow. He's a master at that. You know what I'm saying? I'm glad you're back, Pete, because now you know what I go through when I'm on here. He is a master at, hey, I think we shouldn't talk about this. Let's just move on to something else. But then he talks about it anyways, and then he makes it seem like I'm the bad guy for wanting to move on. It's up to you, Danny. I put it back on you.
No. Let's talk about E3, because, you know, you're the captain now. All right, so let's... So... The other day, during this same conversation I was having with Paris, this was like maybe like early last week, something like that. We were talking about, you know, price and everything. And then the conversation came up about E3. You know, we're excited. But then I mentioned this to Paris, like, Paris, I don't see Sony going to E3, man. I think they're fine, man. I think that if they do their separate event away from E3 or a different day and get all the attention, I think people still going to buy a PlayStation 5. You know, we were talking about that. And then literally the next day, I see an article where Michael Pachter and sources saying that PlayStation might skip this year E3. And a lot of the people that were online talk about this, they were like, oh man, this is a bad move for Sony. I'm like, I don't see this as a bad move. I think this is a smart move. Save more money. Control the message by having an event away from E3, and people are still going to pre-order a PlayStation 5. I just don't see how this is a bad thing. So let's start the conversation from there, man. What you guys think about that?
Pete, I'm curious to hear your opinion on this. And by the way, Danny, I'm the one that told you that, not the other way around, but continue, Pete.
Really?
That's why
Paris.
I chuckled. That's why I chuckled.
No.
Anyways.
Really, Paris? So? I'll stay quiet. because I remember I brought that up. Like, whatever.
No. Okay. Sorry, Pete. But to clarify, yes, we did have the conversation, but I'm the one I was like, man, it would not shock me at all if PlayStation doesn't show up at E3. That's all. I'm just okay. Messing with you. We're just
okay.
Having
fun. It's all
Pete's
good.
Back.
It's all good. Yeah. Pete's back.
I love it.
F-U-P.
I love the spice.
Go for it.
Yeah.
How do I phrase this? I had my perfect thought, and then Paris killed me.
Sorry, so, blame Danny.
Always blame Danny. That's the answer. I lost my title. I totally lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
Okay, then I'll circle back. I'll kick it off then. So again, I've been saying this for years at this point. Just as we started to see the team. Oh, you do? Well, then I'll be quiet. Please jump in. There you go. See.
First off, on what Danny said, I don't know if saving money is really paramount. And I know this sounds odd for me to say. I don't know if the money savings for not being at E3 is paramount for Sony. Because I think they've printed so much money over the PlayStation 4 lifecycle that, you know, the savings of not appearing at PlayStation or at E3 makes a difference to them. I mean, yes, there's always the executive that says, I need to say, you know, how much can we shave off on spend, right? But I think messaging is the key component for them backing out. They and I know Paris, I think, is the first one that brought this up, you know, like 2 or 3 years ago. They want to control the message, and we've seen it already. We've seen it with Microsoft stepping out of E3 and having their own little thing, you know, across the street. PlayStation with the PlayStation Experience, Nintendo's booth shrinking as the years go by. The importance of E3 in general, or these large-scale conferences, is by far completely the opposite or completely different than what it was 10, 15 years ago when E3 first started off, right? Now, the part that is probably, you know, I mean, outside of, you know, the third parties out in the South Hall, now I think E3 is so important for the indie game community, because they don't have the budget or the backing for those media press events that are just for themselves, because they're such a small development team. You know, they could be 1 to 5 people, you know, like, I mean, look at what Devolver Digital does, you know, for their groups every year at E3. You know, you're in a parking lot with a couple of Winnebagos or a couple of streamlined, you know, things like that. And you just go inside there and hang out for 45 minutes. Indie games are so important to the industry as a whole, and to see them, hopefully as a result of a Sony leaving, seeing them get their shine, I think you're going to see this more of a benefit for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, again, I hate to say I told you so, but I'm going to pat myself on the back and say I told you so. I've been seeing this.
That's why I gave you that shine. That's why I gave you the flowers,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah. I mean, this is just where the way technology has gone, the way we communicate, everything is leading up to this point that E3 is not as relevant as it should be. I literally had a conversation last night with a dear friend of ours that the only thing that gets me excited about E3 is when all of us can get together, like not just the three of us, but, you know, everybody, the industry. Like even when I was just at the Game Awards, it was like a mini E3 to me, because we're all at the JW. We're all having drinks. We're all just talking and having fun. It had nothing to do with the actual event, because going in that convention center is stressful to me. I don't like going in there anymore, because as someone breaking the fourth wall in our Twitch, that as I've said, it's a freaking flea market last year. It's pointless. Microsoft does all their business across the street now. EA is in Hollywood. PlayStation wasn't there last year. Anything work you need to get done with any other third party is all pre-E3 stuff that you do offsite anyways. what is the point of walking into that convention center? The magic, the glitter that I had in my eyes back in 2001 when I first walked into South Hall and I saw EA, the big Madden thing, and I was just amazed. I thought this was the greatest thing ever. I just walked around with a goofy grin on my face the entire day. That magic's gone, man. It just is. And, you know, let's just factor in all the companies have already left. The ESA with the data breach, leaking my information on the internet, and I'm getting weird phone calls at 3 o'clock in the morning. They've still not addressed it. You know, the fact that Packer came out and said that this is a rumor tells me that this is a real conversation. I've also heard some other stuff offline about certain companies and their booth size this year that I won't say because it's not a fact, but that concerns me as well. PlayStation's not coming back, man. Like, if PlayStation can't be bothered to show up at E3 when they have a hardware reveal, they're never coming back. And they can easily flip that switch, make PlayStation Experience their celebration of all things PlayStation, reveal PlayStation 5 stuff there, invite the fans to come. The media will be there too. They cover it. They own the news cycle. They win. Microsoft, like we said, is already across the street. They have their fan fest events across the street. The media comes for all their appointments across the street. They hold their media briefing across the street. We do hands-on with everything across the street. You're not actually doing anything in the LA Convention Center. The only difference is they just so happen to time it at the same time as E3 because they know everyone is there. But and they could E3 easily
doesn't even get you access to it.
Either. Exactly. You don't even need a badge. You don't even need a badge to get in, which brings up the other point. Think about it. We go to the Microsoft stuff the last couple of years, and then we get our E3 badges after, just as an example. But what do you think is going to happen later this year? There's going to be XO20, and Danny, you and I talked about this. They're going to turn that into a launch event for Series X. Mm-hmm. Guarantee it. Let the fans come in. Get hands-on with it. Phil Spencer gets on stage, all that. If E3 goes away, they could easily switch XO into a summer event and just do it during the summer. Do stuff at Gamescom. They don't need E3 anymore. And I've just been saying this for the last few years, and everybody gets mad at me for saying it, but I'm just looking at this logically, and I'm looking at the trends, and I'm looking at them scrambling to fill up West and South Hall with things to do. You know, now they're doing what was it, the Fortnite thing and some esport thing. It's like the public's involved now. It's like, this is not what E3 is supposed to be. Just go to PAX. Really. I mean, there's no point for this E3 anymore. And the fact that PlayStation is rumored to not come, the fact that PlayStation has not put their name on it and squashed this rumor says a lot. I don't think they're coming back. I really don't think they're coming back. Yeah, go for it, Pete.
Whether this is the death of E3, I don't know. But the polar opposite now, was it Gamescom in Germany? How is it that Gamescom can continue to draw in? Well, I don't think Nintendo was there last year, but was Sony there as well? Or did they
not? PlayStation had a booth at Gamescom.
So how does... All right, Danny, just interrupt. You just cut in. So I don't know if you were trying to confirm that.
No, but it's just...
I don't recall if Nintendo was there. Paris, you were there, so maybe you can just, you know, slap me with...
Yes, Nintendo was at Gamescom as well.
Okay.
Because,
so,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So how is it that Gamescom can do it and be able to draw in your, you know, your Sony's, your Microsoft, your Nintendo, but E3 can't?
My theory on this is because Gamescom was always built as a public event for the public. I mean, 300,000 people rolled through that event during that week of Gamescom. I was there, saw it, didn't believe it before. I'm a believer now. My God, they do it and it works. But okay. I think it because it was always built for the public. So yeah, you're having actual fans of these products get hands on with it. They're buying merch, doing things like that. But Gamescom does a very genius thing where, because it's so big, they literally have what's called the business area where they all the meeting rooms, everything you can do, like literally me as the media, that's where I stayed the whole time. I would peep down the public and go, oh my God. And then I run back up because it was like, it's just madness down there. But maybe that's why it works better for that. And again, it's clearly profitable because again, look how many human beings roll through there. So maybe it's just more of an ROI for these companies to go there. Whereas let's remember, E3 was never meant to be what it currently is right now. It was meant to be a place to get business done. And then if you really go back in the day, they used to have a public day at the end, right? But the point of it was, it wasn't supposed to be about all the big booths and the booth babes and all this kind of stuff. It was supposed to be about a place where these publishers, these development companies would get together with retail companies, the media would attend as well, and they would make new announcements and they would conduct actual business. And that has changed right now. And you don't need to go to that convention center to do any of that anymore.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And P, I know you said about saving money, that conversation brought up, because I mentioned that. There's a reason why I said that is because when EA made those changes a couple of years ago, having like their own EA Play, you know, people that I know that works there or used to work there, I don't know, they mentioned that like now they have the money to do other things, not just paying 100% to E3. Now they have options to do a lot more, not just having an event, you know? So by PlayStation not having an event at E3, there's going to be so much money that they could do an offsite event plus more, because it's cheaper for the company to do that, you know? So, and I could even, it is true, because there was a point where E3 was so known that every other company had to go to E3 to promote their games. The ESA was charging all these companies a lot of money, man, just to have a booth in there, man. So that's why there's been a lot of changes, man. Like, why are we going to play, let's just make believe, let's say, why a company is going to pay $500,000 in one area where they could use that and get a hotel or get a venue across the street in downtown, and it's bigger, it's cheaper, there's a lot more people there attending that event, you know? So
I don't know. I just know, and I'm not super familiar with pricing for events in LA. We could just, go off of ballpark figures, but yeah. you can assume, right, that mm-hmm. local event spaces in the surrounding area around that location, whether it be at the Fig or one of the other hotels, all of those you're going to be playing ultra premium prices because of the competition between others, with other companies trying to get those little location spaces, kind of, etc. So I don't know if the money save is as extreme as you say. What I would say, though, is whatever that magic budget number is, I could imagine it being whatever that spend is would be equal to what they're spending before. Like, that budget number doesn't change because they're offsite. They just have more flexibility because now they're not confined by a specific booth space on the floor, and they have to accommodate traffic patterns and people and security and stuff like that. They can have the same, they can still get across the same message. It's just controlling the narrative within that space better, because you're not competing with loudness and sound from 12 other booths surrounding you, all pumping the same, loud techno chuka 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 bump, music. You know what I mean?
Ghost Paris. Right? Like that. Yeah. You know what, Paris, thinking about it, I could see PlayStation doing a PlayStation experience for launch, like a 0 hour. I could see that, instead of having PlayStation December, a PlayStation experience December, having November, right?
That's what I'm saying. You make it a celebration. You make it more about the fans of your quote unquote brand. You know what I'm saying? It just makes sense. Again, Xbox already does Fan Fest at E3. They do it at Gamescom. Do they do it at PAX West? I don't think they do. But then they obviously do XO. PlayStation can obviously bring back PlayStation Experience and do the same exact thing. There's no difference when it comes to that. You get your message out. You already see they're doing the live the streams now, excuse me, to get their message out and talk about their games and upcoming stuff. And you said this, Danny. Nintendo set the precedent for this years ago anyway. They were like, we're out. We're not doing media briefings anymore. We'll just stream it live. Yep. That's all you got to do. That's it. And you're still getting your message out. They're still going to buy the games. Everything's going to be great.
Yeah. And thinking about it right now, at that time, we were like, man, that's a crazy move. That's crazy because they probably don't have enough content. But thinking about it now, that was the smartest move they ever done, man.
Yep.
Doing that during the early days when we got to see changes coming for E3, man. So, yeah, very smart, man.
Look at it this way. Take, because I was just at CES, and this was made me think of this. Apple hasn't been to CES in, what, 15 years? Something crazy like that? Do you really think they miss CES? They still they have their own event. They control the news cycle. We know all about their products, and people are still lining up and pre-ordering it just like they always would. Why can't you do the same thing for video games? Of course you can. You don't have to have an E3 to get public knowledge out there about your products and your message. You're now able with technology to talk directly to your consumer. Shout out to Mandy because she said it in the chat. But you can talk directly to them. You don't need to stand up on a stage at a convention where people are in attendance. Honestly, and think, we've already done this. We kind of stopped going to all the media briefings because it was easier to just sit and watch it from our Airbnb. We kind of would just go to the, you know, Microsoft, PlayStation, and the rest of them we would just watch from our Airbnb instead of actually attending it. Because what's the point? You're still seeing the same stuff. You're still getting the same message. It doesn't matter. And that applies to the billions of other people around the globe that watch this stuff streaming online. It's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap it up?
I'll just say this again, just on the CES topic. You know, again, I was there this week. Thank you to NVIDIA. NVIDIA showed off some stuff to me that I can't talk about just yet. Still embargoed. So I'll be talking about it here in the next week or two, or actually maybe weeks or two. I forget how long it was. But point is, saw some stuff from NVIDIA. It was real awesome. The stuff that I can talk about, seeing their new 360 hertz monitors was awesome. I know there was some skepticism about that online, but to actually see it in practice, you understand, because this is for competitive gaming. This isn't for the average Joe. So they had a test they had us do with Counter-Strike Go, where they had us shooting through this door of this moving target at 60 hertz. I went 0 for 10. I suck. Then I did it on the 360 hertz one. I got 7 out of 10 because there's just simply the refresh rate is higher. There's just more pixels. There's just more information on the screen at any one time. So you're able to actually hit your target more accurately when it's a quick situation like that. And in comparison, they were showing some of the competitive gamers. They were only getting on the 60 hertz of the same test, like one shot, two shots. So it was tough. But then they're getting obviously like 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 when it went to the 360. So that was awesome. The thing that I want, which is $3,000, is Asus and Acer are going to have these 32-inch 4K 1400 nit HDR panel, IPS panels that also does G-Sync at 144 hertz refresh rate. Oh my God, the demos they were showing is just amazing. I'm like, I want it, I need to have it. And then one of the dudes told me the price. I go, well, I don't need that bad, right? Because it's going to be super expensive at launch. But that was cool to see. So that's all the stuff that they also showed off some RTX stuff as well, but that's all the stuff I can talk about for now. I'll talk about the other stuff later on. Also got a chance to walk around the show floor at CES, saw some of the 8K TVs coming from LG, Samsung, Sony. I'll be perfectly honest, seeing them in person, yes, beautiful screens, looks fantastic, but to me they just look like very well-tuned 4K TVs. And obviously there's no 8K content out right now anyway. So these are all just really concept things that if you buy one right now, you're just on it, to my opinion, just throwing your money away because they're super expensive. Oh, one other thing at the NVIDIA thing was at LG as well. They had a 77-inch OLED 120 hertz G-Sync monitor, and they were showing some games playing on it. My God. Oh, I would love to have it. But again, I'm a broke B, so I ain't spending $10,000 on a screen like that. But it's just fantastic to see that stuff. Went over to Canon, saw a bunch of their new cameras and things they're doing. Sony's also had some interesting cameras as well. So it was fun. Again, I've you know, thank you to NVIDIA for inviting me out, being able to check that out. Got to meet a bunch of great people, you know, while I was at CES, and it was a good time. That was my first time going in 8 years. So it was fun to see how the events, how much of it has changed, but how some things are still the same.
Okay, cool, man. All right. So, Pete, you want to say anything else before we wrap it up?
No, I just had a question. Is the that large scale gaming monitor that you saw, the 77 inch, is that any different than the BFG that
NVIDIA? That's exactly what it is. It's basically the OLED version of this, because you know the previous ones were LCD. Oh, and that's the other thing with the 32 inch 4K. They're using the mini LED technology as well. So it's cool. Again, it's awesome to see all this tech coming out. This stuff is way priced out of our range right now, but in the next few years, the prices will come down and we'll be able to get it too.
All right, so head over to gamertagradio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also listen to our past episodes. Make sure to go to any podcast app, search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Follow us or subscribe. All right, and if you want to be part of fan mail later this week, this is how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. Thank you for watching and also listening to Gamertag Radio. We're going to have the after show here for your Twitch viewers out there. And until next time, we're out. Peace. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.